Well, good morning to all of you. Welcome. So by God's grace and mercy, we're in the book of Genesis in chapter 19. So we'll continue this series of messages entitled The Origin of the Gospel. And so a few more chapters and we'll be studying the Gospel, in the Gospel of John. And we'll see how long it will take. So if you brought your Bibles to the church, or if you have your cheap or expensive smartphones with download scriptures, would you please turn or tap to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. And I must give you a warning, dear friends, if you have some emergent plans after the service, you need to stick around, because this is quite a text. It may sound long, but by God's grace and mercy, that what it is. Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. Usually, I will ask you to rise for the reading of God's word, but since it's a long message, I just would like to extend some grace to you. If you promise not to fall asleep during the reading, can you promise that? If you promise to keep your eyes open, you can stay just seated.
Talk loud.
Okay. Genesis 19, verses 1 through 22. Then the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot saw them and rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he pressed them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house from young to old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please, let me bring them out to you and do to them what is good in your eyes. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Step aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came to sojourn, and already he is persistently acting like a judge. Now he will treat you. Now we will treat you more wickedly than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and stepped up to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, from small to great, so that they weared themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you have here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and everyone you have in the city. Bring them out of the place. For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry has become great before Yahweh. So Yahweh has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for Yahweh will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. Now at the breaking of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the man seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of Yahweh was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. Now it happened, as they brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life, Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away. But Lot said to them, Oh no, my lords, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by preserving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest calamity overtake me and I die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please, let me escape there. Is it not small, that my life may be preserved? And he said to him, Behold, I grant you this request also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Let us bow and pray. We need God's mercy to understand, interpret, apply this text in our lives, and bear much fruit for God's glory. Our Father in heaven, we're just asking for your help, for a richly blessing upon the preaching of your word, upon the faithful application of your word in our lives. You know the days, you know the times we're living in as your children in this beautiful and vast country of Canada in 2026. You know what's going on the Parliament Hill. You know what's going on in the hearts and minds of many Canadians right now. You know what's going on in our hearts and minds right now in this century. But Lord, you promised that your church would never be overtaken, overthrown even by the gates of Hades. You promised to keep your church alive and strong, effective and powerful and courageous, because you are the master of your church. Lord, we're just praying for us to understand, for our understanding of this text, for me to interpret it accurately, and for all of us to bear much fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives. Lord, be with us as we're going through this text in your word. That's what we ask and pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this message can be seen on the slide, The Spiritual Lessons for Believers and Unbelievers About the Destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I have just read this text to your attention from Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. In Genesis 19, Abraham wanted Yahweh to demonstrate his justice by sparing Lot, his nephew, and sparing Sodom. However, God chose to demonstrate his justice by delivering Lot and destroying the city. As we studied a few Sundays ago, when God visited Abraham and spoke to him face to face as a friend, Abraham pleaded that the Lord would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of some righteous people living there. A question for all of you, including myself. Do we intercede, do we pray for people in Canada before the Lord? Do we pray for the conversion, for the salvation of many Canadians around us in the same way how Father Abraham was praying for the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do we do that? In the text we're studying today, we're going to see one more time that Abraham cared for the welfare of others, even as he prayed. Father Abraham had a unique relationship with Yahweh. Remember, he was called God's friend. Abraham lived by faith, and his faith worked itself out through his actions. In Abraham's nephew Lot, we can see a totally different picture. Life is generally filled with making compromises, true or false. I'm asking you, those who are married, who have been married, those who have kids or grandkids, those who worked at different places of employment, life is generally filled with making compromises. True or false? True. And Lot is a clear example of what spiritual compromise might do to believers in the true and only God. Lot's example is a lesson for us today in 2026 to never allow ourselves to compromise with the ungodly. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Let me make it as clear as possible for you, dear friends. Biblically, we are called the children of light, the children of God. Unsaved people, those who do not believe in God of the Bible, triune God of the Bible, they're called the children of darkness. Moreover, they're called the sons of the devil, the sons and daughters of the devil. So, the enemy of our souls, the devil, the fallen angel Lucifer, will always try his best to promote the mindset and the values of this fallen world around us. So as Christians, we must be aware of satanic schemes and stay continually on guard against his attacks. Now here's the summary of Genesis chapter 19, the whole chapter. The account of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible is a story of destruction and deliverance. It is also the account of how believers in God, like Lot, were pulled into a spiral of depravity. It is also the story of a family who lived among the wicked, of a father who offered his virgin daughters to a lustful mob for a gang rape, of a man who was reluctant to obey God's command, of a disobedient wife, and of a family reduced to incest to keep the family going. It's all in Genesis chapter 19. In Lot and his family, we see this spiritual truth. Passivity toward cultural sin leads to passivity toward personal sin. We must protect our eyes and minds and those of our children from ungodly practices and influences, lest we accept and practice similar sins. There's a verse in the letter of Paul to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." After this introduction to Genesis, to our text in Genesis 19, it's time to study in some detail and learn some necessary spiritual lessons in it. So this is how point one sounds in the message. The danger for believers in God to live in compromise with this world. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Then the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Lot saw them and rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. The danger for believers in God to live in compromise with this world. Because Jesus did not feel at home with Lot in Sodom, he sent the two angels to investigate the situation for him. The angels visited a professed believer. Who is a professed believer? Anyone who claims to be a Christian. Still, so many people, our neighbors, loved ones, family members, staff members, they say that they're Christian. So many people. It's like a tradition. Do you believe in God? Oh, yeah. I believe in something. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. I was baptized in the church. When I was a kid, my parents, my grandparents took me to the church Sunday school. So I'm a Christian. Professed believer. But Lot was not necessarily practicing believer in Yahweh, the only true God. It is obvious, contextually, from the text in Genesis 19, that Lot's wife and family were far from God. The salt lost its flavor. So what hope was there for Sodom to be spared from God's holy judgment? Matthew 5:13 says, the Lord Jesus reminds us, whenever we open his words, his truth, Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out to be trampled by man." There's a warning for us even today in 2026. If as Christians, we lose our saltliness. Our salt will be trampled by man, by the man of this world, by unbelievers, by the lost. Before we move on, let me give you a sharp contrast here between Abraham, his family, and Lot and his family. Abraham was visited in the middle, in the heat of the day, but Lot received the angels in the evening. And I just, at this point, would like to ask you, dear friends, to go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And I would like you to go there. If you have your Bibles, let us turn to this passage in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. So this text says, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's a very serious matter, my dear ones. The Bible helps us to interpret the Bible. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 19. Father Abraham's household obeyed his word, as he served the Lord when he was visited by the Lord Jesus and the two angels. But Lot's family merely laughed at Lot's words. Abraham hastened, but Lot delayed his departure and had to be dragged out of the city. Verse 1. Then the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Two angels were those angelic beings who with the Lord Jesus had visited Abraham in Genesis 18:22. They had taken a human form. They looked like males, male human being. As we have just read, Lot was sitting in the gate. Sitting in the gate or at the gate was a sign of respect and authority in the ancient world. The elders of the city would sit in the gate to hold court, and they acted like judges for the people of the city. They were the decision makers. And if you want to know about this practice or custom, just go to Ruth chapter 4. That's where Boaz was and his friends were. They were prominent leaders in the community. It means, according to verse 1 in our text in Genesis, that Lot had risen to a prominent position in Sodom. He was famous in that community. Verse 2, and he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Please turn aside into your servant's house. Sound great, doesn't it? Free accommodation, free meal, feet washing service, etc. Did the angels accept the proposal of Lot? No, by no means. First they said no. They chose to spend the night in the city square. Their reply was unexpected. The angels expected refusal of Lot's invitation. Their refusal invites the Bible readers to reflect and ponder a bit. What's going on here? Why did they say no? Verse 3. Yet he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he made a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Lot insisted, and they obeyed. He wanted to protect his visitors from the perversity of Sodomites. Lot pressed the angels strongly to enter his home. So the angels entered the house. Lot did not live in a tent like his uncle Abraham, If you remember, I had emphasized that a few times, Lot did not like camping under the stars. He settled himself comfortably in the city of Sodom. Lot made this very progression first by walking as a nomad toward the city of Sodom in Genesis 13. Then later he moved to Sodom. And finally he was sitting in the seat of an elder of the city. He was sitting in the gate. So having talked about the danger of believers in God to live or walk in compromise, let's move on. Point number two, Lot's folly. The years of compromise turned him into a fearful and unwise man. The years of compromise turned him into a fearful and unwise man. Verses 4 through 9. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house from young to old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have known a man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them what is good in your eyes. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Step aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came to sojourn, and already he is persistently acting like a judge. Now we will treat you more wickedly than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and stepped up to break the door. The men of Sodom, as we have just read, surrounded the house from young to old, all the people from every quarter. Before the angels had a chance to have some rest, word spread through community that strangers had come to the city, and virtually every male of Sodom rushed to Lot's house, young and old. Please note in verse 4, this emphatic phrase, all the people from every quarter, all males, young and old, were involved in that lustful attack. There were no righteous in Sodom except for Lot, who was an immigrant. The picture here in verse 4 is of man driven by their lust, who chose to obey their enslaving passions. The wicked man surrounded, as we have read, the house of Lot. Their intent was to violently take what they wanted. Verse 5. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them." Bring them out to us so that we may know them. The Hebrew word for to know, for our English word, is often used in Genesis of sexual intercourse. And this is the meaning of this word in Genesis chapter 19. The same meaning of this word is used in Genesis 4:1, Genesis 4:17, Genesis 4:25, Genesis 24, verse 16. The Sodomites intended to sexually assault the angels to the point of gang rape. There was a huge crowd that surrounded Lot's house. Such activity, even nowadays, is known in some parts of the world as sodomy. Now, what does God teach us about this behavior, this kind of behavior, lifestyle, in His Word? In the Old Testament, such a practice is regarded as a capital offense, according to Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. The Lord God condemns it in both parts of the Bible. In Leviticus, in the New Testament, it's in Romans 1:26-27, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And what was Lot's response to such wickedness? Here's the answer to this question in our text in verses 6, 7, and 9. It just horrified. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them what is good in your eyes. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." True to the principle of Middle Eastern hospitality, Oriental hospitality, Lot bravely went out to face a mob alone. By shutting the door behind him, Lot cut off his own escape and hoped to protect his guests. How about this phrase, his address? Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Lot tried hard to hold peace negotiations with those men. Maybe he hoped to turn away their wrath with his soft address. My brothers, please. Lot referred to those ungodly men as my brothers. Let me emphasize something, dear friends, at this point. The world is not a brotherhood to the people of God. Believers in the only true God have different set of values. You can even say amen, because we have different set of values. If we're the children of light, if we're truly God's children, different values. But those wicked men were not interested in reason or compromise. They only wanted to satisfy their lust. Lot's appeal fell on deaf ears. Verse 8 is just horrifying. Let me read it one more time. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them what is good in your own eyes. Only do nothing to these men inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof. Ouch. In a desperate effort to save his guests, Lot shamelessly offered his two virgin daughters. He tried to bargain with those wicked men. And by the way, Lot's daughters lived under his roof, and he was obligated to protect them as well, not just his visitors. He was the father, the leader of the household. He was obligated to protect his kids and his wife. In verse 8, we have this classic example of trying to avoid one sin by committing another sin. In fact, no arguments can excuse Lot from his disgusting proposal. Suddenly, Lot became an alien. Before that, he had been chosen to be an elder. He was sitting in the gates of Sodom. But now, just listen how they're talking to him. He became an alien to those wicked men. They never forgot that Lot had moved to Sodom from somewhere. However, God's approach was to judge them. They loved darkness rather than light. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's why, therefore, historically, since the first day of Christianity, all the different governments, different countries of the earth tried to ban, to prohibit the use of the Bible in the society, in the communities, for people not even to hear the word of God, not even to be exposed to the light of God's word. Verse 9, did they accept it? But they said, step aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came to sojourn, and always he's persistently acting like a judge. Now we will treat you more wickedly than them. So they pressed against Lot and stepped up to break the door. Lot's offer was not accepted. Verbal abuse turned to physical assault. I witnessed that just yesterday, playing in our beautiful community gym, soccer. At the end of the game, two guys began just swearing at each other, and they almost had a fight. That's how it starts. Verbal abuse often turns to be a physical assault. Lot is pushed aside, and despite his attempt to shut the door, they stepped up to break the door. Before we move on, let me focus your attention, dear friends, on this phrase in verse 9. He's persistently acting like a judge. Who are you to judge me? God is love, love, love. This is the way of this world. When a person stands up and tells other people not to be wicked and ungodly, they turn around and accuse him of being judgmental. People of hatred, people of intolerance. Get out of here. You do not belong here. Nothing new under the sun. It is time to move on to point three of this message, a more pleasant one. The demonstration of God's grace. The Lord is able to save even the lowest of sinners. Verses 10 through 14. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, from small to great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the two men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and everyone you have in the city. Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become great before Yahweh. So Yahweh has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for Yahweh will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be joking in other English translations of the Bible. Something dramatic happened in verses 10 and 11. When all seemed to be lost, the visitors revealed their true identity by taking Lot inside and striking the wicked man with blindness. Like this. Like. Lot was in a big mess in his life of compromise because of his poor decisions, yet God, in his mercy, rescued him from the coming judgment. The men of Sodom were spiritually blind, and in verse 11, they became physically blind as well. In verses 12 and 13, we read about an angelic monologue. God sent his angels to rescue Lot and his family and destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord did not find even 10 righteous people in Sodom. I think I had asked you this question before. If the Lord visits Thornhill and Terrace and other communities around Terrace, will he find 10 righteous people? And I remember your nods. Oh, yeah. We have more than 10 just in one church. Yeah, he will find 10,000 righteous people. But that's our guess. The Lord did not find even 10 righteous people, but he decided to spare Lot and his wife and daughters for the sake of Abraham. Remember how sincerely Abraham interceded for Lot and for righteous people in Sodom. Verse 14, but he appeared to his sons-in-law to be joking. You know how it works. You know how it worked many times when you tried to bear witness about Christ, when you told your loved ones, people whom you cared for, you know what? You need to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ. It's a matter of life and death. He's coming soon. And if you do not believe in him, you'll spend eternity in the fiery hell. Christians. Hell. We'll be fine in hell, people say. I haven't heard from my own relatives. At least in hell, it will never be cold. What? Here's an important spiritual principle for all of us to understand. When we live at peace with a fallen world around us, we risk losing our testimony, even if we do not personally indulge in worldly practices. When a rescue was offered through Lot to his sons-in-law, who were about to marry his daughters, they turned it down, proving that they fully deserved God's punishment. So what happened next? In Genesis chapter 19, we're moving on. Point number four, the urgency to act, escaping from God's judgment, the danger of living a double standard life. Verses 15 through 24. But before we read some of those verses, let me just focus the remnants of your attention, on Lot's heart attitudes, his cowardice. Verse 16, I'm not reading the whole verse, but just sections, fragments of the verse. Verse 16, but he, Lot, hesitated. Verse 18, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest calamity overtake me and I die. Verse 20, let me escape there, that my life may be preserved. Lot, where was your faith in Yahweh? Where was your courage as the head of your household? Lot struggled to leave behind all his possessions and comfortable lifestyle. And the Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, said a lot on this matter. But here's only one verse I'm giving to you today. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now let us study a little bit about the urgency of this command to leave Sodom. Verse 17. Now it happened, as they brought them outside, one said, escape for your life. Nowadays we would say, run for life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away. Escape for your life. Run for your life. Do not look behind you. In the Bible, looking back implies having second thoughts, doubts, regrets at what someone has left behind in following God's commands. Jesus said again on this subject in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verses 61 and 62. Anyone who said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say farewell to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Verses 21 and 22, back to our text in Genesis 19. Again, Lot is bargaining with the angels of God, and he said to him, behold, I grant you this request also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. God's mercy to Lot is so visible here. Despite Lot's arguing in verses 18, 19, 20, the Lord God granted Lot's request through the angels. And there's a big difference between Abraham and Lot with their request to God, how they prayed to God. Abraham begged for mercy for others. Lot was concerned with his own safety. It's all about me. Let me go there or there. Just draw your attention to this phrase in verse 22. For I cannot do anything until you arrive there. The Lord showed his mercy by accepting Lot's plea. I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Divine grace is the ultimate basis of salvation, not human righteousness. Now we must stop here in our study of Genesis 19. Lord willing, we will finish this chapter next Sunday. It's time to draw some conclusions from this passage in Genesis 19, some spiritual lessons. Lesson number one. The Holy God of the Bible does not accept sexual perversion. God wants people in the scripture many times that those who indulge in sexual immoralities will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Lesson number two. Biblically, the sexual perversion was not the only cause of Sodom's fall, according to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. That's why we need to study the entire Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. God describes the sin of Sodom in Ezekiel 16 as lofty pride, abundant food, haughty people who committed abominations before the Lord. So it was not about one particular sin. They had a bunch of others. Three, Lot had no altar. At least it's not mentioned in the Bible. Whenever his uncle traveled, Father Abraham, he set up an altar to worship God. Lot did not have an altar. Eventually, he ended up in a cave. Next Sunday, we'll study this text, committing horrible sins with his own daughters. The values and teachings of this world can corrupt the mindset of God's people. Romans 12:1-2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. This is a call from God for us to be sanctified in His Holy Spirit, by His Holy Spirit, to live holy lives for God's glory. Lesson number 4. Divine judgment will come to the wicked in God's time. It may seem to us, Lord, for how long? When are you going to come back and set the things right? Even last night, before night's sleep, that was not pleasant. When one of the famous politicians said something like that, women in Canada have right to choose. And the happy crowd was like, yeah, we can kill more babies in Canada. Kill them all. Kill those babies. Kill them. Yeah. God's judgment is coming if people do not repent of their sins and trust their lives in the only Savior, in the only Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. Though God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, according to Ezekiel 33:11, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has to judge wickedness because His holiness requires it. This is the message of the Bible. God is love, but God is also holy and just. Love, holy, and just. Love, holy, and just from Genesis to Revelation. Lesson number 5. Believers in Jesus Christ should accept alphabet people as persons, as living beings like us. We're all created in the image and likeness of God without approving their lifestyle. If you approve their lifestyle, if you approve sin, you cross the line before God. They can be saved, yes. They can receive the gift of eternal life, yes, like anybody else. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So this is the message of the scripture, and this is the lessons by God's grace and help I wanted to share with you from this text. Come back next Sunday, we'll continue chapter 19, and do not be downhearted by the message, by some episodes of this chapter. God was, God is in control, and He will be always in control. Let us pray and give God the glory before the final song. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank you for providing fallen mankind with a way out, with a way of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this fallen world to redeem, to save millions and millions of people across the world. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your unstoppable, ongoing, continuous work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this world. Thank you for working 24/7, the Spirit of Holy God, to convict, to convince, to encourage, to empower so many people to follow God and His commands. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the head, the master of the church, you know the faults, you know the errors, you know the compromise many of your children have experienced in their life, in their service to you. Lord willing, like next Sunday, we'll be studying in the book of Revelation your message to the church in Laodicea. We may see the buildings around us. We may see even witness buildings full with people Sunday after Sunday. But faithfulness to you, real biblical faith, real salvation, real conversion from death to life, that would all matter to you. Not the external things, because you look at the heart of a man, at the heart, not at the appearance. And Lord, we pray for our congregation, for our children, grandchildren, for people living in our community here, if it's your will, to be spared from your coming judgment. And Lord, remind us to pray for those who are yelling and screaming from joy when they're telling others that it's okay to kill babies in mother's womb. Forgive them, for they're not knowing what they're doing. And remind us to pray for their salvation. and for them to realize that there is God in heaven who is coming very soon to judge this unbelieving world. But we're not under judgment, as he reminded us through Apostle Paul by his Spirit in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For now there's no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. So Lord, we hope and pray that we are in Christ Jesus and there's no condemnation for us. You're not going to destroy us. In fact, you're coming to take your church out of this world, to be where you are, to be present at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Lord, that being said, encourage our hearts to continue joyfully and faithfully, regardless of what's going on around us in this world, because we have hope beyond the grave. We have bright future, the future this world does not know. But on the other hand, our hearts are aching for the salvation of so many loved ones, our relatives, our kids, grandkids, the neighbors on the street. There are so many people who are being deceived right now by the devil. There are so many people who are deceived to believe that they can do whatever they want to do with their lives, with their bodies, anything like that. But Lord, you're holy, you're God of love, you're God of all justice. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your bride home. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray for this. Amen.